Experts claim there is nothing tougher than a diamond. But at Diamonds Direct, we beg to differ. Have you ever met a mother? Strong, radiant, timeless. This Mother's Day, give her the gift that meets her match. With diamond jewelry starting at $200, plus Diamonds Direct's exceptional quality and unbeatable everyday price, you're sure to give her a gift that wows this generation and the next to come. Experience the thrill of jewelry shopping done right at Diamonds Direct. Diamonds Direct. Your love, our passion.
Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to this Monday week trending episode for October 9th, 2023. Mm-hmm. Happy Indigenous Peoples Day.
Yeah.
I'm Jack O'Brien. That is Miles Gray.
Yeah.
Miles Gray!
Wow.
What's up, man? I'm trying to get the energy up, bro.
Get the energy, Jack. Come on now. Come on, get the energy up.
You had a
long weekend.
Man.
I was, out NBA there in the teams with the Boy Scouts. A lot of scouting right. going on.
Yeah, I'm officially a scout for the Phoenix Suns, collecting intelligence.
Kevin Durant,
I got to go hang out with my Kevin Durant is tall as hell, man.
Turns out
got to go hang out with my dad at the Phoenix Suns training camp for a day, which was super fun. Good to see the old man, see Frank Vogel,
Frank, you know, miss you.
And, and then this weekend was a whole nother mess because I got home and immediately went camping. We rented a cabin in the woods. So it wasn't camping.
Got you.
Yeah.
Wait, was it a scout thing or was it a family thing?
It was a whole school thing. The whole school.
Oh.
So it is like one large roving birthday party that, you know, like you're just like at a thing with like kids and their families for 48 hours. And it's.
Wait, you know, what do you mean? It's for someone's birthday?
No, it wasn't a birthday, but like, you know, you like as a parent, like, you know, the social event of being at a kid's birthday party.
Yeah,
and there's just like the one that parent energy.
That you're cool with.
Yeah.
Dude, I'm starting to see that more like as I talk to more friends who like live in different parts of the city. It's like, dude, I have nothing in common with some of these dads. It's like freaks me out.
Yeah.
Like everyone's like a flat brim cap wraparound sunglass dude. And I'm like out here like, with my loose tees on and it doesn't match
up.
Yeah,
there's a lot of us out here. The flat brim wraparound shade people.
You're telling me, bro. I was up in it this weekend.
Yeah, that's what I hear.
So flat brim mania.
Shall we get into our overrated, underrated?
Yeah, let's get into it.
What is your overrated?
My overrated this weekend, this reality that I'm experiencing is Oktoberfest celebrations in LA.
Okay.
So I've been to an Oktoberfest. I've not been to like the one like legit German Oktoberfest, but I've been to one that felt like it, where it felt like a faithful recreation of like a German beer festival, where like it was like very fun and like raucous and shit. And I was like, okay, maybe we'll see like what this like local Oktoberfest thing was that I went to. And oh man, it was like an excuse for like white supremacists to like all really? Where they're like, let's go, dude. I saw so much.
Let's go, so many
let's go, Brandon. Like let's go thin Brandon, blue yeah. line, like, you know, hyper pro cop shit, like Pinochet thrown out of like helicopter kind of like propagate, like
wow.
4chan, like all. If you're like terminally online, like some of us are, and you're kind of familiar with the semiotics of like the far right, you're start to be like, what the fuck is this place?
Damn.
And it was like wild too. Everyone. So again, I'm like, maybe it's authentic. Mother, you know, what's also funny. Everybody's drinking Bud Light.
Yeah, they were.
Like they had beer tents and there's like only one place you could get like German beer. So like they weren't even like honoring the promise of like German anything. And then every vendor had the same tired ass food, which is a dry ass pretzel or like basically what I suspected were like Johnsonville bratwursts that you get at like Kroger.
Right.
And being like, hey, you want a German yellow styrofoam sandwich?
Backing and
yeah, 100%. 100%. Like, and then I was like, wait, this one's Italian, dude. I think one, you guys messed up and you snuck a package of Italian into this one, but it was just kind of like a weird, just had a weird energy to it. Like it wasn't, I don't know what the fuck. I don't know what the fuck I was expecting, but it was a very, very interesting time very little good food. And I was like, at the very least, like if I go to like a, you know, Italian street festival, you're like, you're eating.
Yeah.
But this German one, it was just cops and Johnsonville brats.
Yeah. It's wild that they're not able to quit Bud Light, that they're not like, that seems like. Like, does Bud Light taste different to people than Miller Light or the other beers that are like water, mostly water flavored?
I should have asked if I'm like, yo, is this like McDonald's Sprite for cops? You know, right. Like you're like, man, just Bud Light out the tap. Oh,
yeah.
Man, oh, man. It's, and I just like, it was just so funny to have a thing like hammer you over the head with like the German like experience or whatever.
Yeah.
And it be just like this very. It was basically it's a carnival with like Epcot a couple level, people.
Sub Epcot level German.
Oh, not even Epcot. Don't even, yeah. You know.
Okay.
I've never even been to Epcot, but I've seen enough Disney Channel to know how magical Epcot is. It wasn't this. It was like, it was Bud Light and a couple people in Lederhosen or like wearing a dirndl.
Yeah. That's interesting. Like I went to October, like Cincinnati and Southern Ohio has a large German population and they probably go off different. For Oktoberfest, but I am curious, like that, what whether though, like as America kind of slides towards fascism, if Oktoberfests like take on a different meaning, where they're like, remember the good old days, man.
It was a kind of like, hey, German pride, huh? like some people had that energy,
yeah.
But yeah, again, I think it's like to your point. I think it's like anything, right? Like a Korean street festival will be fucking absolutely lit in LA because we have like the biggest Koreatown in the country. Yeah,
right.
Versus like what that might be in another place with
Cincinnati,
like
Cincinnati, maybe not.
Yeah, maybe not. So I'm sure like, you know, Zeitgang, let me know like if you have a like a lit Oktoberfest that doesn't feel like the third and a half Reich going on.
Or if it does, if you have a lit one and it's just like even more.
Yeah, because it's so three and missing a half, the right. point.
Yeah.
right. It's like got 3Ks in October.
Yeah. My over is bugs.
Bugs.
Overrated get these bug. Things out of here. There's that TikTok video where a guy celebrates like that crispness in the air that comes at fall that sends, quote, bugs back to the hell where they belong, and he's just like, yeah, woo, like,
oh, is that a thing?
He made it up, but I enjoyed it. That is how a part of my brain felt every fall when I was growing up on the East Coast, or like in a place with seasons where it was just like, ah, yes, and
yeah,
there they go.
All we can pray for is it gets cold enough that the mosquitoes fucking subside. That's really like the one thing I'm looking forward to with potentially the fucking temperatures dipping below 80.
Yeah.
So we had such a hard time.
We had a camping weekend, like I mentioned, for my kid's school, and there was like some cycle of hot cold that like hatched a bunch of winged insects that were
winged,
so horny for my eyes and mouth and ears. Like,
ugh.
Just they wanted to get into every hole of my head.
Yeah.
That didn't have something covering it.
Jesus. So were you just wearing like a ski mask to try? No,
I didn't pack a ski mask. Like normal.
Always pack a ski
mask. Always pack that.
Yeah. Your dad taught you. That's why you always pack a ski mask.
But like everyone was walking around with their head just being trailed by like a comet tail of 10 to 20 flies. And then you would
stop.
And
like everyone doing some form of like batting them away, swatting them away as they walk.
Yeah. I asked the guy at the front desk like if he had any tips or like, you know, and he was just like, you know, I live in the hills. I get a lot of them. You just kind of become one with the bugs. Like, I don't even really notice them anymore. And he had like bugs swarming around his head.
His entire face was made of moving bugs.
Yeah, it was like that Nightmare Before Christmas guy once he took the sock
off.
Buddy,
you all right?
It made me feel like a failure because like, I wasn't able to defeat them with just like, sheer Zen Buddhism and just like they will not hurt me, but like that's also exactly what the bugs would say if they had like broken into someone's brain like they seem to be trying to do with me and were like piloting them around. They would be like, no, you just must overtake you.
It's Jack, it's 48,000 bugs in the shape of a guy. Yeah. Wearing clothes for sure.
I had the thought at one point that I was gonna wrap my head in toilet paper. Like I didn't seriously consider it, but I was I'm gonna go full invisible man on this. Like that. See, that is an option that has popped into my head at this point.
So it was really okay. Okay. Yeah. Well, you know, that's what happens sometimes. I remember when I was like in Africa, I had a similar situation because like. Africa is just teeming with life, like everywhere, like from the plants that grow to like the fact that there are bugs everywhere. And after a week, I did become one with the bugs. Like
you did,
it's weird. I think it's truly like this thing where your sense is just dull to it, where you're like, dude, you're not gonna fucking make it if you're like, just be like, they're gonna fucking. And then in a way, I don't know if it was Zen or just from just being ground down by the bugs, but
you just like turn your brain figures out how to turn that thing off.
Yeah,
whatever that is. That is like inherently just like
exactly. Ooh, it's like in my ear, where somehow like I think my ear either repelled the bugs or killed them. I don't know what was going on, but
you just become like a elephant or like a horse, just like kind of lazily swatting at the bugs, you know?
Every now and then, but like a fly is gonna crawl on your fucking head and then it'll go.
Then it'll like land on your eyeball and crawl around and, like, there for a little
lay
bit.
Lay some eggs and I will faithfully take care of the larvae.
Just become one with them. Let them take over.
Buddy, what's coming out of your eye? Bunch of fly larvae are hatching. Sorry.
What's something you think is underrated?
Underrated? So the ability of children's sports to make me into an asshole.
Yes.
I saw my nephew play Little League over the weekend and it was a close game, but I found myself fucking like wanting to talk shit to the batters that he was facing on the mound.
Yes.
Like he was pitching and I was like, okay, full disclosure. These kids are the oldest 10 years old.
Yeah.
This is 10-year-old baseball, which isn't baseball. It's mostly called like weaponizing your ability to predict like a fielding error to load the bases and steal base. That's pretty much all it is at that level. It's always just about like, yep, go steal second.
Yeah.
The catcher dropped.
You could just become completely unstoppable if you bunted every time because nobody can field whatsoever.
Oh, 100%. 100%. Yeah. And like, I don't know if there's just something for me like about sports where it just gives me a reason to act like the stakes are so fucking real. And high.
Yeah.
And I'm not yelling at 10-year-old kids, but like I kept my mouth shut, obviously, and was just like, you know, being cheerful and supportive. But like there would be times like it would be a full count. And in my mind, I was saying like shit in my head. Like I wanted to be like, hey, this kid's scared. His feet are too close together, man. He ain't serious. He don't know what he's doing. Just get it to the catcher and he'll be shuffling back to the dugout. Like that's like it reminded me of being in high school again when like you could talk fucking cash shit, like at a sports, like at an event, and that was like the fun of it. And I realized I needed to just adjust my expectations, but there are also like these parents.
Yeah.
They're like a little too critical of their kids. It's like, oh, what's he do? He's got his arms crossed.
Yeah.
It's like, he's fucking 10, man. And like, the pitcher's like about to throw. And yeah, I guess he could, like, he's on third if his arms are crossed, whatever. Who gives a shit?
Right.
But then I just realized, I'm like, I was becoming like one of those assholes who isn't merely there to like support a loved one, like, you know, as they do something they enjoyed, but like becoming one of these people who's like having their ego live vicariously through a 10-year-old.
Yes.
That should not have that responsibility ever.
Yeah, ever. That's a lot.
And also stop living vicariously through sports.
Stop
people.
Living like, vicariously through your children. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So that I learned a few lessons. So it many, many things were learned from just that faithful baseball game.
Miles, in many ways, children can be our best teachers.
It's true. It's
true. I have a hard time, like, you know, my oldest plays chess a lot, and just like watching his chess match. Chess, by the way, something I'd never like played prior to a year ago, but like now I'm like, oh, he's not developing his piece, you know, like on the inside, I'm just like so living and dying with every move, and it's absurd.
You're just reading the text recap of his chess game. Like, knight 2 to pawn. Oh no!
Fucking kidding me, man. But yeah, my underrated. I think I've done it before, but I got to do it again. The goddamn 12-foot hovering witch that I have in my front yard that I got from Home Depot. We have a story later on about like the new hot
decoration hot 12-foot thing.
Yeah, big Halloween decoration.
Our new gods.
And they mention the 12-foot skeleton, and they mention, I guess I didn't realize that there's a giant Beetlejuice sandworm that you can put in your front lawn.
Oh,
looks fun. That feet. One looks great. It's oversized for sure. It's a
massive.
Yeah. But okay. And they leave off the 12-foot hovering witch. I just have to, you know, first of all, I was able to disassemble it at the end of Halloween season last year, put it back in storage, take it out of storage since we last spoke about it, and put it back up. And she's out there hovering off of my front lawn again with her shirt inside out, because it turns out I put the shirt on inside out, and it's a tremendous pain in the ass to undo that mistake.
It's fine. But the seams are showing. It's fashion. It's 2023.
But the little kids are back, man, like taking pictures with it. There's one family who like has a like ongoing, you know, their toddler son is like, can we visit the witch every morning when they go on a walk?
Is this because you're spying on the family during their morning discussions?
Yeah, exactly. That's what I have it there for intel gathering. I'm actually hiding in the witch's skirt and just catching these people slipping.
With a parabolic microphone. It's like, what are they saying?
What are they saying about my witch? But it's got
the shirt's normal.
No, it's just, it looks like it's inside out. That she meant to wear it that way.
Okay, why is the witch talking in third person and coughing a bunch?
We went camping. There's a lot of smoke inhalation. A
lot of bugs trying to get in your ears, would you? Never mind.
But it's, so it does have like one thing, the witch has that magic illusion working. Like, you know the one, you ever see that beer that's like hovering in the sky, perpetually like pouring into a mug?
Like the floating, but yeah, like
from
the
like Spencer's
floating
gift. Yeah. So it works on that same illusion where like her broom is on the ground and she appears to be flying, and like that trick, very simple, but it always works on my brain for a split second. And so I think
geometry,
that's where the
baby.
Power of the witch comes from. It's a twofer, and that she's big, she's also flying. Trick your brain into think she flying for like 30 seconds. So
it's not just the scale of it, like the damn fucking tired ass skeleton.
Thank you.
That shit's fucking normcore. We're talking fucking optical illusions.
Optical illusions.
Okay. For the babies.
Yeah. But I think she came out at the same time as the werewolf. And like, I think people were a little disappointed in the werewolf. So I haven't I think maybe they, they got lumped in together.
I don't know. I don't, and I don't mean to, I know we're not doing, I already did my overrated, but I think werewolves are a bit passe at this point.
Like just in general, werewolf.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Unless I'm using a, werewolf to evoke how you would be if you drank a Vietnamese iced coffee where you had to change yourself right, to a radiator in a full favorite. Moon.
Yes, exactly.
In which I think case, werewolves it's a are very like, apt.
Werewolves, for anybody who has had substance abuse problems, like very easy to identify with.
Probably. Yeah, 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 for sure.
Yeah, like
and Jekyll and Hyde.
Yes, but they're not necessarily scary. They're more like very sympathetic characters for me.
Yeah, because you're like, oh man, that sucks. He's got to go back down there again.
Oh, that would be so annoying.
The McRib is back. Get my chain, honey. I gotta go to the radiator.
Let's take a quick break and we'll come back and talk about the events of the weekend. We'll be right back.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island and secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
What up? I am Dramos, host of the Life as a Gringo podcast. Now, this is a show for the No Sabo kids, the 200 percenters. Here we celebrate your otherness and embrace living in the gray area. If you ever felt like you were always too much this while also never being enough that, this is the podcast for you. Every Tuesday, I'll be bringing you conversations around personal growth, issues affecting the Latin community, and much more via my own personal stories, along with interviews with inspiring thought leaders from our community. Then, every Thursday, I'll be tackling trending stories and current events from our community that you need to know. So much of what makes our community so beautiful is our diversity, yet too often, those of us who don't fit into this dumb, stereotypical box of whatever it means to be Latino are left without a voice or just forgotten about. On this show, I celebrate the uniqueness of our culture and invite you to walk in your authenticity. Listen to Life as a Gringo as a part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're back.
Yeah.
And yeah, I mean, the weekend was a fucking nightmare. It was really, like, you know, horrifying the way you know, the events that were happening in Israel, and also like the way everybody was furious and hurting, and I don't know, it was bad time.
Yeah, I mean, you know there was a like a surprise attack launched by Hamas into like out of Gaza that I think the death toll at this point is like over 1,300 or something at this point.
Yeah.
With a lot of Israeli citizens as or civilians and Palestinian civilians being killed.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, the footage is fucking horrifying. You've seen people just like just people walking on the street getting shot. And I think, you know, a lot of those images inspired a lot of people to memory hole like what the situation is in Israel.
Yeah, and has been. Yeah.
Yeah. The coverage felt the first things I read like were sort of treating these attacks like in a vacuum as if the like Israelis have not been putting Palestinians like in a fucking open air prison, as many people describe the Gaza Strip like that for decades. And just being like, what were they doing? What did they do that they deserve this? And I'm not here to celebrate civilian deaths by any fucking means. I just like the thing that was stuck out to me the most was sort of the lack of context around the discussion around what the situation is between Israel and Palestine. And a lot of colonial media, shout out Hune for, you know, I had to remind myself that we call this colonial media, colonizer media. They take up for other colonizer nations and treat it sort of like this thing that was mysterious and that like nothing had been happening, as if, you know, the inflow and outflow of goods to Palestine is completely controlled by Israelis, like along with medical supplies, electricity, water, countless things.
Yeah.
And when you look at it from that perspective, you're like, of course shit like this is going to happen.
Yeah.
This is like the violence begets violence. And this is the situation. And I think, yeah, it was really like, you know, for like even like the commentary out of like the White House, obviously, because we are the biggest arms supplier to Israel, is going to completely leave out the part that, you know, the U.S. also has a hand in this from arming the Israeli military. And also letting, you know, like we talked about this during the all of the uprisings in 2020 in the U.S. about how a lot of these carceral and like crowd control technologies we saw being used are like tried, like they're tested in Israel
on the
first.
Palestinian people. Yeah.
And so it's a very like it's just a very fucked up situation. And just to see like how the fracturing of like people like losing sight of what's going on, and not to say anything's like justified or anything, but like you're looking at a situation where the outcome will only be this kind of violence at a certain point when people are put in
dehumanized.
That they are going to respond like this. And, you know, that now there's like there've been a lot of like Israelis that are taken hostage. And like the figures on that, I think, obviously fluctuate depending on like where you're getting your news. But it's an ongoing fucked up situation that really has been going on for like 75 years now. And like a lot of the coverage is sort of is like, yeah, so this just happened and that's all we can really talk about.
Yeah. I mean, to your point about like, you know, people do horrific things in the fog of war, but like racist propaganda gets spread in the fog of war as well. You know, I think like I abhor the killing and mistreatment of innocent people. I just like happen to abhor it when it happens to Palestinian people as well. But it feels like it doesn't enter the zeitgeist of the United States when the Palestinian people are the ones suffering systemic imprisonment and murder due to the policies of the Israeli government and military. And like, but I, yeah, like both of those things can be true. Like I can want innocent Israeli people to be safe from harm and also think the Israeli occupation is evil, you know?
Yeah.
But
yeah,
it does, like it just, there does seem to be, and I remember this like even from like when I was a kid, like viewing this conflict, like there, it seems like there is the way the mainstream media in the U.S. or, you know, the colonial media treats this story, it seems like Palestinian lives are worth less in the calculation of the U.S. mainstream media.
We're also a nation built off the suffering of indigenous black and brown bodies.
Yeah.
You know, that
exactly.
we would never want to define an amount of what that is worth.
Yes.
Or what the suffering is worth. So because we have our own shit we refuse to reckon with. We're not about, the media is not about to reckon with another nation's shit like that. It might maybe in the sense to say like, well, the US is better and that's just disingenuous. But, you know, it's just sort of a blind spot or a willful blind spot that has to be, you know, maintained in order for like, you know, the moral high ground of a nation to be made. It's just, it's grim.
Yeah. I don't know. It's super grim, like you said. In the U.S., as it relates to the U.S. zeitgeist, you know, Trump is claiming on social media that the American taxpayer helped to fund the attacks on Israel, kind of in keeping with his strategy of taking the truth and saying the exact opposite, or at least like focusing on it. He's suggesting that Iran funded Hamas using the $6 billion in assets that they were that were recently unfrozen by the U.S. in exchange for American prisoners.
That talking point was everywhere.
Yeah, this became the main like Republican talking point. And it's especially stupid because, first of all, it wasn't taxpayer money. The $6 billion was sitting in a South Korean bank and owed to Iran due to South Korean purchases of Iranian energy products. But their money was inaccessible purely because South Korea was concerned about falling afoul of U.S. sanctions. So that's...
Yeah.
Yeah, that was money that like, the U.S. kind of parked there.
It'll only be dispersed for very specific payments, like for, you know, for like medicine, for food, those kinds of things. So, and like, then there's even Marjorie Taylor Greene who tried to use this to be like, it was Ukraine, like to keep like banging that drum of to be like to, it was Ukraine armed them. And even Russian media pushed back. They're like, we have nothing that would suggest that's remotely true, but I guess go off Marjorie Taylor Greene.
And
again, this is just a very, it's like wild too, because you see like people like Kylie Jenner, like posted something of like always stand with and support of Israel, and then getting absolutely torn down by like her followers. And like, in a way, I'm like, yeah, I get it. I mean, like, if you're not critically thinking in this country, you would think that maybe everything was fine in Israel. And the fact that like you would take this very narrow perspective about like what the power dynamic is there. Yeah. And just be like, why would Palestinian people do this to Israelis? We have to stand with the Israelis. And I understand, obviously, the civilian death is fucking terrible.
Yeah.
And I think there's this other part that you just, that is missed of like how lopsided and imbalanced the violence is in the direction towards Palestinian people. Like, dude, there's countless times I'm reading about Palestinian children getting killed, journalists being killed by snipers or whatever. And it's like, it's only on the margins of like global news sites or things like that. It's not being talked about on like MSNBC or whatever. And that has people in this, like, I don't know, they have this perception again that it's like Israel's just trying to do what they can with like this mess that they've been dealt or whatever. But if you look at like, I was on Al Jazeera and they had a graphic showing like sort of what this civilian death toll has been for roughly the last 15 years up until this event, was that about 4,500 Palestinian civilians have died and about 300 Israeli citizens have died.
Yeah.
Just that's sort of what we're looking at.
And the coverage only goes really one way when it comes to the
one direction.
Yeah.
Yeah. And again, and because we have an aversion, we saw this even with the war in Ukraine, when people look a little lighter in complexion.
Yeah.
There's a little bit more empathy. Yeah. So a lot of these people like sort of breathlessly take a lot of the, you know, the propaganda that comes out of like Israel that sort of obscures what's going on. And they're like, yeah, okay, I think this is good because I saw innocent people die. And it's like, this is so much more complex than being like, pick a side right now. I mean, there's nothing that I will waver in. And when I look at the situation, I'm like, yeah, these people are fucking getting genocided in slow motion.
Yeah.
And again, I don't know what the fuck. Someone put a thing out like, was like if Twitter existed in the 1800s and they're talking about the like Haitian uprising against the French and they're like, no idea what happened here, like these innocent French people, blah blah blah. And they're like, if Twitter existed then, it's like, what?
Yeah,
we're talking about enslavement, we're talking about like people getting killed. And you look at the backstories of some of these people who join Hamas. Like, one of the commanders lost his fucking infant son, 3-year-old daughter, and wife in like one fell swoop in an airstrike.
Jesus
and like
Christ.
That was this guy's radicalizing incident. And you're like, these are just, you're just, you're creating a fucking pressure cooker that's gonna just blow up. And that's even like what every, even like leftists in Israel have been saying. They're like, this is, we're not fucking, we're not safe when we do this.
Right.
And a lot of people are saying that, you know, people are going to be demanding answers, because for all the money that's been spent to like wall up the Gaza Strip and things and have like anti-tunneling sensors and things, nothing, like, they was truly caught completely off guard.
Yeah.
And I think, like, you know, most like sort of experts in the arena talk about it. It's like, yeah, this is going to bring some kind of paradigm shift. The fucked up thing is now that we're going to see even more loss of life for innocent Palestinian people as well, because the response, like, out of the government in Israel has been like, they're like op-eds where they're like, when genocide is okay, kind of thing. It's like, we need to like level Gaza.
Yeah.
And this is where it gets really fucked up, because now I'm reading reports of like more US military hardware being sent to the region. And who knows where this goes, because I don't think you send warships when you're trying to sort something out peacefully. But again, this is sort of like the ongoing terrible back and forth of just globally not reckoning with what's been happening in the region.
Yeah. And yeah, just back to like what is actually happening on the funding side. So that $6 million, which again, did not come from the United States, has not been touched, because it's being like closely monitored by the US. It's inaccessible, like, in a lot of ways. So none of that money's actually been spent yet. The United States, meanwhile, has provided Israel with $158 billion in bilateral assistance and missile defense funding, and helped to fund July's brutal assault on the West Bank that led to the deaths of like 5 children, which again is the sort of thing that doesn't get covered in our media. But
Or even like when the Hamas is saying like, this is why this is happening. Like, I like the first reports, like, I was reading, just didn't even say anything about that, about like the desecration of a mosque in Jerusalem and like the continued confinement of the people of Gaza and things like that. It's one of the most densely populated places on earth. Like, 2 million people live there.
Yeah.
We'll see what the, I mean, I'm sure we'll continue to talk about it, because the rhetoric is ramping up, and already we're sending so much money when we have our own fucking issues to deal with to continue to finance the oppression of people. So,
yeah.
Yep. A lot going on this week. A lot going on.
Yeah. All right. Let's take a quick break and we'll come back and talk about Demolition Man.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
What up? I am Dramos, host of the Life as a Gringo podcast. Now, this is a show for the No Sabo kids, the 200 percenters. Here we celebrate your otherness and embrace living in the gray area. If you ever felt like you were always too much this while also never being enough that, this is the podcast for you. Every Tuesday, I'll be bringing you conversations around personal growth, issues affecting the Latin community, and much more via my own personal stories, along with interviews with inspiring thought leaders from our community. Then, every Thursday, I'll be tackling trending stories and current events from our community that you need to know. So much of what makes our community so beautiful is our diversity, yet too often, those of us who don't fit into this dumb, stereotypical box of whatever it means to be Latino are left without a voice or just forgotten about. On this show, I celebrate the uniqueness of our culture and invite you to walk in your authenticity. Listen to Life as a Gringo as a part of the Michael Tura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're back. And
back.
Demolition Man turned 30 today.
Wow. 30 years. One of my 90s
favorites.
Boy has
become a Demolition Man.
Thank you. I saw this movie, I remember, on a school night with my dad, and I thought it was the most badass shit I could ever do. I just read one of some tidbits about the making of this film that I had no idea.
Tidbits.
Got some tidbits here.
All
so,
right.
You know, palate cleanser as we shift gears away from the dark oppression in the Middle East. So originally Steven Seagal was supposed to star opposite Jean-Claude Van Damme. Jean-Claude Van Damme was supposed to be Simon Phoenix.
Wow.
The Wesley Snipes part.
Yeah.
Luckily, Marco Brambilla, who is the person who gave us the jaw-dropping U2 sphere visuals,
right,
cast Stallone and Snipes instead, because this was this feels fucking dumb. Just was not feeling the two of them.
Well, Steven Seagal and Jean-Claude Van Damme are not really actors.
Stallone
is our greatest actor, but it's
right. But it has you can see a little balance there. It was I'm Steven Seagal. Yeah. And then Wesley Snipes with his high energy and blonde, flat top and his love of karate kicking. You're yeah, this is great. Stallone ain't kicking. I mean, has he ever karate kicked someone? I don't think so.
I don't think his foot has ever been above knee level.
Right. Yeah. In terms of his normal gait, jogging or something, that's the highest his legs go. This is perfect. You can't get two kicky guys in there.
No. You need punchy guy and kicky guy. Yeah.
Yeah. You need punchy guy and then witty kicky guy. And then also, Lenina Huxley, who was the Sandra Bullock character, was also originally cast Lori Petty, Tank Girl, was originally cast to play that part.
That actually makes sense. That is this character was inspired by her.
Yeah, that there's an energy to it. But then apparently she and Stallone didn't get along. She described their dynamic as oil and water. What do you mean Stallone and Lori Petty? Yeah, they were let's get this young upstart Sandra Bullock in here.
Right.
Which I didn't realize this was actually this was her first sort of huge step towards stardom. And then I think Speed came after this. It was and then she was fully there. And I also didn't realize this was a kind of a comeback for Stallone, that movie.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he had
it was some fallow years.
Yeah, it's always interesting. I think it's the closest that Stallone came to successfully pulling off Schwarzenegger. The 80s were defined by Schwarzenegger versus Stallone. And Schwarzenegger was always able to be in, these sci-fi movies like Total Recall and the Terminator franchise, and Stallone, it like you always have to rub up against like the way he talks doesn't feel like it should be in the future.
Yeah.
But this one, it worked out. It can't, because the whole like premise of the movie is that he's not supposed to be from this time, and he's supposed to be like old timer. Right. Who's like, hey, woo.
There's a nod to like the Schwarzenegger rivalry when they're like the Schwarzenegger presidential library. Like they mentioned, what?
Oh, yeah.
He's doing what? You know, like there's a little tongue in cheek action. Where do you think? Okay, I know like people have said this was like a comeback film for him. So I'm trying to think, what periods are we defining as the fallow years? Like, was it Rocky IV? Was the beginning? Where do you want to say this?
The fallow years. I mean, Rocky IV is 85. That movie was like number one at the box office for
Tango Cash was also, you know, wasn't that a hit? Or am I just thinking because I saw the videotape everywhere that I was like, that movie's a hit?
Yeah. I don't know. Like,
Stop or My Mom Will Shoot?
Yeah. I think that and Oscar were around the same time.
Yeah. Yeah. Oscar's 1991. Stop or My Mom Will Shoot is 1992. Then Cliffhanger, Demolition Man.
Oh, well, Cliffhanger was also like a major comeback. That was like,
yeah. The guy's back. I think, but this was the beginning. So I guess we're just Rocky Five. We fuck with Rocky Five.
No, calling that an L? I think that's an L.
That's an L?
Yeah, I think that counts as an L.
Okay.
Yeah. So, but like Judge Dredd, it was like he was always trying to move Oscar. Oscar is such a miss. So like the big thing that where he like fell off. So he was on this like Rocky IV Cobra over the top streak where it's like this guy can do no wrong. People will watch him in a arm wrestling movie, and then Rambo III, which is the most expensive movie of all time up to that point, which, you know, relates to, which also like the content of that movie relates to what we were talking about, the main story in the news right now, because he like helps the Mujahideen like fight off Imperial Russia. And people were like, huh, we're not so into this political message. I don't know if that was the reason it tanked, but that was
right.
That was like Rambo.
Like, stick to Vietnam, man.
Stick to killing Vietnamese people.
They're approved.
Yeah, they're approved. But yeah, Rambo 3 was a big bomb. And then you have like Tango and Cash, Rocky 5, Oscar, Stop or My Mom Will Shoot. And then in the same year, he has Cliffhanger and Demolition Man, which come back and really,
right,
you know, are. Seems like, all right, he's back, but then up next is like The Specialist, Judge Dredd, Assassins, which are all kind of not great. Daylight,
yeah,
the tunnel movie, but then
Daylight, yeah,
yeah,
that movie fucked me up, like, because is it about the Lincoln Tunnel? Like, is it New York?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, it's like one of those famous ones.
Time I go like into one of those tunnels, I'm like, oh no, man. Just like, I have that trailer stuck in my mind since I was a kid.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
It's so funny that Dennis Leary is in Demolition Man, because it kind of takes its whole moral core from like Dennis Leary bits. Like, it's like,
a lot of people.
I think he does a bit. Like, I think he does like 5 minutes of stand-up. I want to
run with a cheeseburger, run naked through the streets.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. And a lot of people took that as like, oh, this movie is like libertarian.
Right.
And they're like, no, that's not the main point. And I think it is funny. That's why, like, it's viewer's choice, kind of, for some people who, if they want to hang on to the Dennis Leary character, then they're like, yeah, this movie's talking to me. Other people are like, oh, look at how opportunistic leaders are in a tragedy to try and consolidate power, which that's, I think, right, is the larger message here. But hey, it's up to you, folks. If you want to eat a rat burger with your ass hanging out while you run through the streets, then go ahead, buddy.
And finally, The Exorcist, the latest Exorcist sequel came out, and people are pretending that it was like a disappointment, because it only made $27 million in the United States, made $45 million globally. That seems like way more money than I would expect the movie to make.
We're still fucking with The Exorcist? For real?
They haven't had a successful... Like, they've had exorcism movies, but they're not like sequels to The Exorcist. And like that franchise has been bad since the first one is a classic, and then everything after that, like the second one is like famously bad. And like, I guess Exorcist 3 is supposed to be good, but I don't know. Like, I think a lot of people were scared.
Either way, I'm not in general, I'm not fucking with like exorcisms, you know, exorcist movies. I don't like fucking scary movies. They kind of feel like a waste of time for me when I'm like, I'm already in a state of fright already existing in the world. I don't need to compound that with The Exorcist. But then when I read how much money fucking Warner Brothers paid to own the rights,
just to own the rights, they paid $400 million. So
I guess they're nearly a quarter of their way earning it back. But
then the movie cost $30 million to produce. This is the best opening for an Exorcist movie ever. But like, everyone's like, this one tanked, guys. And the reason that people think it tanked is wokeness. Because there's a line in the movie.
Fuck.
So there's a line in the movie where Ellen Burstyn's character says, like, talking about the first movie. So Ellen Burstyn was the mom in the first Exorcist, I believe. And she was like, they wouldn't let me in to like watch the exorcism, I guess. And then another character is like, why not? And she says, my opinion, because I'm not a member of their damn patriarchy. Yes.
Woke, man, you go broke, dude.
I mean, it is like, the line is so bad. It is like the worst version of woke signaling bullshit, where you just like give a cartoon version of a feminist take.
Right.
You will be shocked to learn that it is directed by a man and written by three men. So, woke.
That's what's woke, though, because I'm able to actually comment on patriarchy as a person who's part of it. You see?
That's right.
That's where I'm getting points. But Jesus, man, $400 million is such a, we're so screwed. Like, there's no one likes an original fucking idea. It's so much copycat shit. We're like, well, what rights are they buying? Well, we better get these rights. Don't I got rights?
Hey, don't I got rights?
To see something original on the screen? Come
Rocky
on.
Five? Come on.
Yeah. Rocky Six?
Is that six? Yeah, that is six.
No, I don't know. Or is that Rocky Balboa? Is technically Rocky Six?
Yeah, it's the one where he like wants to box someone.
Yeah, and they're like, right? Dude, you're too old.
You're too old. You're going to die. Don't I got rights?
And they're like, oh, you know what? You're right. You do. Okay, go ahead. Die in the ring, sir.
But yeah, the new one's got absolutely terrible reviews, not just from film critics, but from our very own super producer, Victor, who says the new one is so boring.
Dude, that's a five ring boring. Uh-oh. You're getting a five ring boring rating? Nah, man.
That's not good.
Five O's on that one. Don't do it.
And then we do have a new Halloween decoration taken over. It's Target's Lewis.
Lewis? Aww. Yeah. What the fuck is Lewis?
So it goes for $180, already sold out in most stores. And the overall like reason that people are fucking with Lewis is because he seems to have attitude. Like he will talk to you. And
I'm sorry. This is their king?
Yes.
He doesn't look great. This is janky as shit.
But he has sass. And Target will not comment on Lewis's backstory, but people are saying, like, is Lewis giving LGBTQ vibes? Is that like what's going on? Because can we play the clip? I think it's in the doc. Yeah, the clip is right there.
What? I am not a jack-o'-lantern. I thought it was like some roots shit. Your name is Toby. But that's was not what was going on. My name is Lewis.
Yeah.
I'm okay. All right, Lewis, go ahead. Do you, sir, over there. It's not near me.
Also, you are a jack-o'-lantern. Sorry, man. You got a big pumpkin head, face carved into it.
I don't know what your definition of jack-o'-lantern is, but it's fucking you, man. Yeah. It's you. And like, I hate to
like, I am not a person. My name is Jack. It's like, yeah, yeah, no, but like that. So those things are both true. Person, you are actually a person and you have a name. But
no, I'm Jack. I'm a Jack.
Right.
Okay, sure. I mean, this is a pretty weak offering compared to even the fucking werewolf. Like, I picked a werewolf over this shit.
Yeah. This is not their best work. And not a chance, not that anybody has a chance of getting it at the original listing price.
Yeah. And you're fine. You're fine not getting the thing you could almost quite literally make out of buying a big old plastic jack-o'-lantern and going to fucking and just putting some black sheets on it and then put some orange skeleton hands on it. And look at you. Now you have your very own Lewis.
It does look like it was like it was almost like the point. It's a thing that two movie characters have put together to spook some people or something.
Right.
Like in a movie.
Yeah.
Like the head is like kind of leaning forward.
It's a Kevin McAllister joint. This is a Kevin McAllister invention.
A Kevin McAllister original.
Yeah.
Anyways, but I love it. If Lewis gives people, you know, strength, if Lewis is giving people inspiration and, you know, giving people options when the 12-foot skeleton is sold out, which it has been all fall at Home Depot.
Yeah.
Missed my window, man. I was so close. I was like, I better talk it over with my wife. It's a big purchase. By the time we had talked it over and I had cried until she let me buy it, it was sold out. So it was like a 1-hour window. And I cried. Jesus. You know, when I cry to like try and get in my way, it goes on a long time.
And you would say, I'm a jack-o'-lantern.
I'm not like, a jack-o'-lantern. I'm a jack.
I am.
All right. Those are some of the things that are trending on this Monday, October 9th. We are back tomorrow with a whole ass episode of the show. Until then, be kind to each other. Be kind to yourselves. Get the vaccine. Don't do nothing about white supremacy.
Nope.
And we will talk to y'all tomorrow. Bye.
Bye.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Zeit gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. A new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
What up? I am Dramos, host of the Life as a Gringo podcast. This is a show for the No Sabo kids, the 200%ers. Here we celebrate your otherness and embrace living in the gray area. Every Tuesday, I'll be bringing you conversations around personal growth, issues affecting the Latin community, and much more. Then every Thursday, I'll be tackling trending stories and current events from our community. Listen to Life as a Gringo on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.